Hi, everybody. Welcome to season 3.
What?
Episode 1.
So we are going to do a collection this time because we realize there's so much we want to share and there's so much that the world needs to know about how to live in the world as a Christian, loving and chasing Jesus. And I don't think, I mean, there's a handbook, the greatest handbook of all time, which is a Bible, and we take everything, the Bible, and we take everything from Scripture, but we decided to lay it all out for you guys.
And we couldn't make this a 15-hour podcast, so we're breaking it down into a collection. So it'll be series. So if you miss one, feel free to go back and listen to the other. So they'll build off of one another, and the entire collection, Tina, drum roll of what it's called.
God's plan.
God's plan.
It's called God's plan.
Yeah.
Because part one is identity. And I think it's so important to understand that when we live our life according to God's plan, it really is going to be more peaceful and joyful. I mean, not to say that we're not going to come upon challenges. I think he pretty much promised that there will be struggles.
Yes.
But through this series, we'll be able to give you our lessons, and we're going to show you the blessings and how you can turn things around that are challenging in your life for the good.
Right. And what our identity in Christ is rather than what the world is spoon feeding us all day long. Because we do live in a sinful world, but God's plan is so much greater than what the world is trying to tell us. And we base everything off of Scripture. So we're going to start with a pretty popular Bible verse for the start of today, because God's plan, right? And our identity through him is part of that plan. So if you're familiar with the Bible or Scripture at all, this is from Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future.
And the cool thing about this, we've talked about this on probably multiple episodes. This is written by Paul while he was in prison, because before he became Paul, anointed by the Lord, he was Saul and he killed Christians. So he's writing this to us from prison. And I think if anybody knows the struggles of the world, it's someone who was put in prison and he's giving us wisdom.
Amen. And what a beautiful human being to describe identity. He was once Saul, a worldly, fleshly man, and God got a hold of him in the middle of the worldly things he was doing and said, I have plans for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to for a future bright in me. And he became Paul.
And he had to decide, am I going to live in, you know, whatever the world says is freedom, but go against God? Or am I going to choose God's way, God's plan, and live in his peace in my heart? Because it's what's inside of us.
Amen.
It doesn't all the outward, which we're going to get in on this, but all the outward things that we see are not God. Like, what is inside of us, what's in our heart, what we pour out to others is part of
God's handiwork, his plan that he created us to do. So Tina set us right up for what God was doing through Paul and what he's doing through all of us, from getting us from old us to new us, from Saul to Paul, if you will, because we all have a before God story, but God, and then that's our, what are we doing when after God gets a hold of us? And Ephesians 2:10, For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Prepared in advance for us to do before we were ever even born.
Yep.
Before we were ever even a thought in both of our parents' mind. You know,
yep.
God, we will never fully understand him. So, like, don't even.
If we try to understand God, we're trying to be God.
Yeah, and we're not.
And that's what people in this world do. And that's where, like, the power and the control come in. And that's not part of God's plan.
Amen. Like, we are called to be co-creators with the creator. We are not called to be the creator.
And it's important to understand you have a, like Sarah's plan, God's plan for Sarah is different than God's plan for me. Yes, we're doing this podcast together, but we were together this weekend and we were on opposite sides doing essentially not opposite things because we were both working for the Lord, but we had different roles.
And, being the hands and feet of Jesus.
Right. So hearing, you know, like God has a different plan for me than he does for Sarah. God has a different plan for you than your best friend or your mom or your uncle. And it's important to remember, like, listen to him and like answer his call on your heart. And it's good to talk to people who you know and trust are following the Lord, but it's also important for you to have that quiet conversation with God, whether it starts with reading scripture, because he's the one who knows the plans for you. And it's going to be different than any other person, which is so exciting. Like,
absolutely, because we're all not meant to be the same.
Right.
We are, again, Tina, you keep setting us up for this awesome sauce Bible verses we got for this topic, but Psalm 139:14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. We talked about being the hands and feet this weekend and every day of our lives. Like, not everybody in the body of Christ can be the arm, because the arm needs a foot and the foot needs a brain and the brain needs the eye. Like, our body is made up of inside and outside things. So some things, like, you can't see our heart pumping, but you know that it's working because we are breathing, living. And if it stops, we're not here anymore. We're dead. We're like KO'd, boop, gone.
Right.
And so, but you can physically see our skin. You can see our eye color. You can see our hair color. You know, you can see our lips. And God calls us, each and every one of us, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we are called to be the hands and feet. So not everybody's gift is going to be an external thing that you physically see. Like, it's not about a platform. It's not about being out there for everybody to see. What are you doing where you're planted?
Right. And it's think of it from the perspective of, like, if you are at McDonald's. It's just the first thing that came to mind. I don't eat there, but they do have really good biscuits. Anyways, think about if there was 10 bosses and nobody cleaning the bathrooms.
Right.
Would it run? It would not run. Like, there needs to be one boss, multiple employees, and the employees can definitely clean. The boss can definitely clean a bathroom, but, like, we all have a role to keep it running. And that's a simple, very simple, basic explanation. But I think we get caught up in, well, their role is more important. I do it myself. I'm like, well, why do they get to do this, but I have to do this? But then I think about, well, but I'm in my spot that God had for me. And look at all the, like, people that I'm affecting by being who I am. Look at all the people this person's affecting by being where they are. I wouldn't do what God wants me to do if I was in a role that I wasn't meant to be in.
Right, because God knows your identity in him and what your gifts and what your plans are, right? So going back to the hands and feet, our body is not jealous of another body part. Thank God that our hands are not jealous that they're not, that our feet are not our hands too, like, or that our eyeballs are not our noses. Like, right. Oh my gosh, I'm so upset that I'm not a nose. Like, I wish I was a nose mouth. And it's like, well, that would be really weird if we had a nose where our mouth is too, because the nose was just so jealous that it wiped off the mouth and put a nose there. And that's what we do as human beings. We're like, well, I could do this so much better because I know this and this and that.
Yep.
So I'm going to do that. And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Why are you trying to be a nose when I already have somebody being the nose? You know, and this might sound funny and wacky, but it's so true.
Well, and insert anything else.
Yes.
Insert a person's name. Insert a role that you think you can do. It's kind of like, and going, you set us up for the next thing that's on my mind is, we look at someone who has maybe a nice car,
mm-hmm.
and we're like, whoa, I would love to have, and this is my kid's conversation right now, so I'm using this as an example. My son's like, I want a Lamborghini, and like, I want a cool car, like, I want a Charger. And my one son was like, I totally want this. This is my dream car. I said, well, you could have it, okay? Let's be realistic. You could have it. But do you want everything that goes along with preparing for it, getting it, and then, you know, like, are you going to have a car payment? Are you going to have to save money? Are you going to have to work hard? Are you going to have to miss out on sports because you got it? And then you get it, and then what? You have different friends because you have a cool car? Like, why is the reason you want the car?
Right. What is your identity wrapped up in? Is it external things that the world is like, oh, these cool clothes will make me feel more superior if I have brand names? You know, we live in a material world. And so that does not define us. God defines our identity, and it comes from the inside out. Mm-hmm. And what do we mean by that? I'm glad you asked. It's the fruits of the Spirit, and Tina and I have talked about those so many times, but there's two different trees. Let's just use this as an analogy. There is a tree that's full of life, and then there's a tree that's full of death. I love you. That is so what God does with us. And so the tree of life, and Tina, let's break it down one by one. So if you are eating the tree of life, the first one is, tell me. Peace.
Joy, patience.
Yes.
Okay.
Peace. So this fruit that we're picking off the tree of life is peace. So it's yummy. It's delicious. It tastes so good when you eat it. And it's just like, let's pretend you're eating this fruit of peace and it's literally like calming you. Everything just feels at ease. Because that's what peace is. There's no inner angst or anxiety happening. You just, regardless of what is going on in the external, your internal, it's a kind of peace that surpasses all understanding. And that is what the Bible tells us. And you choose, because you know God and you want the identity that He has for you, you're willingly eating this fruit of peace. On the other hand, the world, the fruit, the tree of death, that gives us, go ahead, Tina, with that one.
Fights or hostility. Yeah. I would say hostility more than fights. So it's like you feel hostile, like you react to things, and it's, instead of feeling like joy for somebody, in your mind, you're anxious and you're like, why is this happening? Why are they doing this? Instead of like, oh, look at the good that's happening because of what they're doing.
Or even if you don't physically see it, you know what's going, whatever is happening behind the scenes, meaning nothing happens in the natural before it happens in the spiritual realm. Mm-hmm. So it has to pass through God's hands first before it gets to what we see in, you know, 3D world.
Right.
And we might not understand it, but that's why this peace, this fruit of the Spirit we're eating called peace, surpasses all kind of any understanding. Because again, we will never understand God in a human capacity while we're here on earth.
We're not supposed to.
Right.
And it's, you know, kind of a little example on what you're saying, because that's so good, but it could be so deep for somebody, is I was talking after we had like left somewhere. I hadn't seen my son in 2 days and we were headed home. And I was like, man, I can't believe I haven't heard from Jeffrey yet. I kid you not. 30 seconds later, he FaceTimes me. Like, that is because God, like, God knew he was going to call me. God put it on his heart to call me. God put it on my heart to say that, to think about him and to say, why haven't I heard? I didn't say that all weekend. And it was like, why did it happen 30 seconds before? It's because God already had it planned and it was in the spiritual realm and then it became reality.
Amen.
And like we can, you know, we've talked about, oh, coincidence. There is no coincidence. And so that's just a small example of how God is already doing things we don't even know.
Amen. You know, our breath is from God. Like inhaling and exhaling, that is God's breath, because he is the only one that knows how many breaths we all get in this world. And anxiety is not of God. It is not from him. So if you aren't able to take a deep breath and you are breathing from your chest and not from your diaphragm and your belly, right then and there, think about what you're thinking about, because mm-hmm. I guarantee if you can't get a deep breath, it's probably not a peaceful thought. Mm-hmm. You might be living in the future or thinking about the past. Yep. And that's just a reminder to come back to the present moment. And if that's a struggle for you, look at the external, look at what you see, look at what you hear, and bring yourself back to what's happening in the moment rather than what you're thinking about, which might be time traveling for you.
Well, and this goes back to the search me and know my heart, know my anxious thoughts. We must, if we're feeling that, there's times when doubts come in my mind, when fears and worries come in my mind. And so I have to actively say, God, I know this is not from you, but right now it's really hard. I need your help. And I am actually, Sarah and I were just talking about this on the drive here. I actually feel in my mind, my flesh comes up with thoughts and God covers them with his words, with his truth. And the only reason he does that is because I talk to him and I ask him. So ask God to search you. What verse was that one?
It is Psalm 139:24. And she did a beautiful paraphrase and it. The entire scripture says, see if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the everlasting. And then the verse before, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts.
So that simple prayer will help you not have to, oh, I'm going to think this and no, I'm going to think this and then I'm going to replace it with this thought. It's kind of like people are like, well, just fake it till you make it. Just say it and then eventually you'll believe it. It's like, no, like you're going to say scripture until it's so embedded in your mind. When those anxious thoughts come in, they're wiped out.
Right. It's believing before you see. That's what faith is all about. I mean, okay. In this world, we tell our children, oh, there's a Santa Claus, and kids believe that. That is a lie, okay? Yep. We are lying. Yep. That's a whole different thing. However, but they believe because they see what's going on in the natural, like, oh my gosh. And not every human being, not every child gets a Christmas gift, but what I'm saying is Santa wouldn't exist if somebody wasn't putting that little
seed
in their head of like, oh, this is what happens during Christmas. When in reality,
Christmas is Christ.
Oh, it is. Christmas is Christ, but we're believing for something that isn't real. Like, we haven't seen him. We've never seen Santa. But just because you don't see it doesn't mean God isn't real.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
He's working all things out for our good. And it's going to be hard to know what your identity is in Christ and what he says if you never open up the Bible for yourself. Because we can talk to you all day long about what the Bible says and that we know that we're beautifully and wonderfully made, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But at one point in time, we didn't know that either until we opened up the handbook of the living word of the living God, which is the Bible.
That never changes. That has never changed it. I was reading Jeffrey a devotional today, and that I know this, but hearing it again was like, wow, it is the one book, the one lesson, the one thing in this world that has never changed. People try to change it, but it has never changed.
Right. Amen. So Tina, the other fruit of the Spirit, you know, from the tree of life, we just talked about peace. What else are we eating from that tree?
Love.
Love. So that's a part of the identity in Christ. He calls us to be all of these things on this tree of life. And by default, if you are not choosing to eat this fruit of love, you are automatically, by default, eating the fruit of lies.
Well, and so love itself, we will never on this human earth be able to love the way the Bible says, as much as we try. And it's because sin has entered the world. But think about it. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not boast. But we won't be able to be perfect. But if somebody is wronging us, or we feel someone is wronging us, put yourself in their position. Have you ever wronged another person? Have you ever hurt another person? Have you ever been jealous? Has someone ever been jealous of you? Like, we have to think about it from the perspective of like, yes, maybe I'm not patient and kind and gentle all the time. But when we, again, it goes back to search me, know my heart. That scripture that Sarah read is search me for the love and bring out the love in me.
Yes.
And when I am the opposite of love, jealous or unkind or whatever it is, create almost like a trigger in me to notice that I'm doing it to convict me, not
right.
A trigger, but convict me in God's way to want to be more loving, to want to be more patient.
Right. Because if we aren't eating, you know, choosing to eat this love fruit, we're eating the fruit of lies, you know, the rotten fruit that the world gives from the tree of death. And we can easily start to gossip. We can easily start to get jealous and bitter of, and then start to create lies of like, oh, well, you know, this person did this because X, Y, and Z. And now I'm going to spread all of these untruthful things because they hurt me. That's not loving whatsoever.
Well, and I think so many, okay, so this is crazy because it's just popped in my mind. Thank you, Jesus. Thinking about love and like what you were just saying, I think people's identity is wrapped up in gossip.
Right.
I think people, and I've been guilty of it. Like, I have been guilty of it. Let
because
me just tell
you. Because it puts others
down, and it makes you inclusive to, like, separate from them. So exclusive. It makes you exclusive because we're, like, three or four of us are all talking about somebody else, whether it's true or not. Like, it's true for me maybe because I'm talking about it, but it doesn't mean that's exactly how the person is.
Right.
But I think people can wrap their identity up in gossip.
Yeah, and that's not of God.
And when people are wrapped up in gossip, I think it makes them feel more doubtful. Because if they're gossiping about this person when you're with them, how do you think they're all of a sudden going to change who they are?
Yeah.
When they're not
around
you?
You're probably the next topic of discussion when you're not around. And they might not even realize that they're doing it.
Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I'm sure you're probably thinking, well, of course people know they're gossiping. But I think if it's your identity and you're so used to doing it, how are you going to be the one person? Like, I had to catch myself and I said, Lord, I want to be changed in this. I'm going to share how I feel. And please direct me to know what's next on how to basically overcome this challenge in my heart. And yes, it was gossip, but it was also from the perspective of I'm feeling this way, change me. And I didn't ask those other people to change. I showed them I wanted to be changed. So you can be a beacon of light in your friend group when they're all gossiping about somebody. Yes, you can walk away. It's kind of like when you go swimming. Are you going to dip your toes in? Are you going to maybe go in but not put your head under? Are you going to splash around? Same thing with gossip. Are you going to walk away? Are you going to be involved in it? Or are you going to say, God, change me. I want to listen to my friends, hear what they have to say, and let's all grow together.
Right. And, you know, you could be the one that says, you know, let's just nip it in the butt right now and let's pray about it. Pray for them. That is the best antidote for everything is prayer.
Yep.
That is giving God back the keys and saying, you know what's going on in every person that is being discussed about in this moment. Change me and bless them.
Yes.
Blessing them in the way that you know how and meeting them where they are at.
And it's about, yes, that's so good. And it's about being different. And being different isn't always cool at first until it is.
Right.
And so you can be the different person in that group. And at first they may reject you at first. But eventually what's going to happen is either those people will fall away and God will give you new friends that don't gossip.
Right.
Or you're going to help change that group. And that's either way, it's cool because God's working.
Yes, he's always working. He's using everything for his greatest good and glory. And knowing who you are in him is so key to live in this broken world, because if you don't know what you are in Christ, that you are a royal human being created for such a time as this, that you are beautifully and wonderfully made just the way you are. Don't let anybody tell you different. You're going to be swayed very easily because this world is screaming at us that it's about what we look like, how many wrinkles we have or don't have, that we need Botox, that we need these facials, that we're too big or small, and yep, we need to eat less or eat more. We need to do all of these, be tan or not tan. Like, it's so ridiculous. The clothes, the materials, like Gucci or Prada or whatever. And it's like, you know, thrifting is really cool. Making sure that there's less things being thrown away. Like, recycling is fun. Sharing is fun. Like, it's not about the external. It's about the internal. And that is why this all stems from, you know, which fruit or which tree are you eating from? The fruit of the spirit or the fruit of the world, which is rotting from the second you start to even just look at it. So going back to the next one, you know, the next fruit of the tree of life is patience. And well, go ahead.
Hold on. We're going to go back to patience in just a second. But okay. I think because this world, I just want to touch on this. This world is telling us we have to look a certain way, like you said. And I think even from the context of, like, you know, one person wants to be taller and another person wishes they were shorter. And I look at my daughter and she has this amazingly gorgeous, thick, beautiful long hair. And it's the prettiest color, especially in summer. It lightens up. I mean, if you could have a more, I mean, obviously my other son has red hair and I love it. Like it's beautiful. And, you know, she wants curly hair. And, you know, I'm just thinking to myself, but like, do you know how much work curly hair is?
It is.
God didn't give you curly hair for a reason. Like, and I just think that's so important to realize, like, you may want these things, but it's natural human to want something else than what you have.
Right.
And when you can get comfortable with what you have, like, God, give me the hair you want. God, give me the skin color you want. Like, God, give me the hands and feet that you want. And when we really look at it from the perspective of, wow, God really did give me. Like, there's people who don't have any hair.
Right.
Right? There's people who've lost their hair. There's people who've gone through things like cancer and they have none. Like, I know it's kind of like, it's hard to think about when you are in that position and then you're put in it and you kind of have to think about it. But try for a second, just whatever it is that you don't love about yourself, whatever it is, your hair, your skin, your nails, your height, just stop for a minute and just give glory to Lord. Like, thank you that I have two legs.
The attitude of gratitude is a beautiful posture always, because it takes away from the zooming in on what you don't like and expanding outward to be like, wow, thank you, God, for all the things that I do have, because somebody else doesn't have that.
Absolutely. I mean, we could go off on that one for a long time, but just try to give glory to God for the things you do love about yourself. And it's actually a scientific thing that when you start saying the good, your brain's going to look for more good.
Right.
Like, it happens in track all the time.
Where,
like,
your attention goes, where your energy flows, your attention goes.
Yes. Focus goes, energy flows.
Yes.
And that's true. Like, if you say, oh, I'm horrible at this, I'm horrible at this, I'm horrible at this, well, then you're like, there's one girl, she's like, I can't fall asleep, I can't fall asleep. I'm like, the more you say you can't fall asleep, you're not going to be able to fall asleep.
There it is there. Your words have power. So what are you speaking? What are you thinking? Just every thought that you have, again, is not yours. And you don't have to say it out loud to give it even more power.
Yep.
But if it's the words and the thoughts of God, like, you are beautifully and wonderfully made for such a time as this, speak that out loud over yourself, even if you're not feeling it, because feelings are fleeting.
Mm-hmm.
So, girlfriend, are we ready for patience?
Didn't we do patience first?
No, we did love, joy, peace.
We did peace.
We didn't do joy, but we're about to do patience.
Okay.
Okay, so patience. If that is, and when you pray for more patience, God gives you
situations.
Yes, situations that will grow that muscle of patience. But you have to, again, choose to eat that fruit of patience, because by default, the worldly tree of death is going to feed us, you know, I think, you know, fights.
Yes.
You know, because you can get
unsettled.
You can get so caught up in, like, oh my gosh, hurry up. Like, we're going to be late. We're going to do this, this, and that, and the other. And then you get angry and frustrated with whoever or whatever that situation may be. And we are called to live on God's timing. He created time. He created everything in this world. So he will stretch time. And in the midst of working on your patience, learning that, hey, maybe if you start work at 8 a.m., that doesn't mean you leave the house at 7:45 if you live 15 minutes away. It's giving yourself that in-betweener, because who knows what's going to happen between now and then, and only God knows.
Right. And if you leave at 7:45, 15 minutes away to get to work at 8, and a train, a car accident, the sun is shining too bright, everyone's driving slower because of it. Like, you don't know what could come up. So then that creates this inner turmoil of, like, oh my gosh, I should have left earlier. Oh my gosh, I should have.
Right. And then you're mad at the person in front of you who's actually driving the speed limit, and you're impatient with that person when in reality you kind of left a little too late.
And is without. So you're impatient. You're without patience because of something that you did. Instead of filling yourself with peace and joy in the morning.
And love for everybody around you, like God is calling us to do. It's very easy to be in the world. You see it all around. That's why it's such a broad road. Majority of human beings are doing it. But we are called, and if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I hope by the end of this collection, or hopefully even by the end of this episode, you realize that there is a different path of life. And Tina and I like to call it the yellow brick road. And a lot of people aren't doing it, but there are some that are, and God will put people around you if you are willing and able to let go of what no longer serves you so they can come alongside of you, because iron sharpens iron. Yep. So if you're looking for joy, peace, love, patience, he will find people to come alongside you and help strengthen those within you.
Yep. And he will also bring into your life people that are going to test those things. And don't always look at the other, if you can, try not to look at the other people as like an enemy.
Right, because that's creating fights.
Yep. And I don't think everyone in this world that irritates you was put on this earth to irritate you. I don't think they get up in the morning and they're like, how can I upset this person? How can I upset Sarah? How can I upset Tina? No, they're just they're giving away what's inside of them. So if you continually fill yourself with the word, if you continually fill yourself with love, joy, and peace, then when that person comes, quote unquote, against you, you are able to see like, oh, maybe they're going through something hard. Maybe they have a challenge. Maybe they didn't, you know, looking at people who have lots of things, clothes, money, cars, shoes, Prada, whatever. Maybe when they were younger, they didn't have those things. Maybe they lived in a time where their parents weren't working and they had to go to work at the age of 14, 15, make money to provide for themselves, and they never healed. So now they're living in this world of material,
right?
Not even realizing that that's what they're doing.
Right.
So forgive them.
For they know not what they do. And we aren't called to judge.
Yep.
God is the one and only true judge. So he knows what is inside of our heart. Our heart is deceitful. But God knows the desires of each one of our hearts, mm-hmm. and where it all stems from. And it's going to stem from your foundation. And hopefully you are planted in God's firm foundation, and it's growing the fruits of the Spirit, the tree of life from within inside of you. And it'll be pruned time and time again. And with the tree of death, weeds will just continuously grow in that soil that is full of darkness.
And thorns.
Right. It's not great at all.
We are called to be gentle with those people. And that's another fruit of the Spirit. And being gentle, like, I think my husband is great at this, because just like I am a little more harsh, and I'm working on it. We're all a work in progress, but he is a little more gentle. And I think when you're filled with gentleness, especially towards other people, you can actually look at them, even in the weird, crazy things that they do for attention, you can look at them from the perspective of they just want to be loved.
Right. And not of hostility, because you're not so, why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? Like, I could be doing it better. You're gentle with them because you're meeting them where they are at. And you have a perfect example. God gave Tina her husband to show her what the fruit of gentleness looks like when it's consumed. And that muscle in him is grown so much that it just oozes out of his spirit. And she's able to see in the natural what it looks like when God is molding and working. And that is having somebody sharpen your iron, having God come alongside somebody who wants that same thing and being able to see it in real time.
And I think, oh, that's so good. Woo. And I think that there are people listening to this that have struggles in their heart and they have challenges and they're around challenging people. And they're probably thinking, how am I going to do this? How do I get to the point where I can be filled with love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness? Like, how can I have what you have? Like, people have said that to us. And Sarah, just I want to know, can you tell them how to have the fruits of the Spirit to be able to then go out into the world as a new identity in Christ and show others by their actions. How do they do it?
Reading the word, absorbing, like chewing on what God says about you. In the morning, left to me, I am not a great human being whatsoever. I start my morning and I choose to open the word of God. And that comes through like devotionals, the Bible app. And I read little Bible verses that I have all around my house and like cards. So every morning I flip a card over and choose to listen and accept what that card says about me. You know, today it was, I press on towards the goal for which God has called for me to do. Something along those lines, right? I think it's Philippians 3:14. And so I can decide if I want to do that or if I'm going to just allow the day to flow with whatever comes at me. But we have a podcast about this, and it's like putting, we said it in the last episode, putting on the armor of God in the last season, actually, we said it. Putting on the armor of God, because if we don't have that armor on of what he says about us and what God has called us to be and what his thoughts say and what how much he loves us and that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, we are going to think all of the thoughts and listen to what all of the noisy world says, which is you're not good enough. You're not pretty enough. How dare you think you can do anything in this life? And it's like, hold the phone. That is all lies. That is fruit, bitter, rotten, ugly, festered fruit from the tree of death. And we are not choosing that fruit.
And I think the world wants to give us the tree of death because if we are weak, we can be overpowered right. And controlled. And if we can be controlled, we don't have identity in Christ.
Amen.
And that is the opposite of what we are trying to do for you in this. We want to help you with love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, and not everyone is doing that. And I think you can go out into this world and you can be that. And in that, you will be able to help others Amen. As well. And that, honestly, that is why we are here on this earth, to help others see the love, joy, peace, patience, and gentleness in their hearts.
Right.
And the last one, I think maybe might be one of the most challenging.
We have a few more. It ain't the last one. Joy, we need to touch on joy. But we kind of have in all of them.
Yes.
You need the joy of the Lord. There's a song that I learned in Vacation Bible School way back when, you know, you got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? It's down in your heart, and let God take hold of your heart and fill it with his love for you. You have to let Jesus take hold of your entire being.
Yes.
And it's a choice because it's free will. If he wanted us all to just automatically feel all this way and automatically eat all of these fruits that we're talking about, he would have created us as robots and there would be no such thing as free will.
Oh.
Love is not a robot. Love is not forced. And so God is a God who wants a relationship with us because we want it. Nobody wants to be in a relationship with anybody because they have to be.
Yep, exactly.
And joy comes from the Lord. It does not come from outside things. You have to have joy from within, and you can't give somebody what you don't have. So
you fill yourself with joy through whatever is joyous for you. If it's going out for a walk and looking around and seeing the beautiful green, blue sky, the green different flowers, like if that brings you joy, do more of that. If
singing, dancing, serving.
There's so many different things that can bring you joy. And like she said, you have to make the free will choice to go out and be filled with those things.
Right. Kindness, same thing. You can't give somebody kindness if you don't have kindness from within inside of you. And if you aren't choosing to eat that fruit, you're going to have grudges. You're going to be envious. You're going to be, you're going to have disobedience in your life because kindness is sometimes overlooking the fault in other people, because who are we to point at somebody else and say, oh, this, that, and the other that they're doing wrong, when there's three fingers pointing back at ourselves always. That is also Jesus. Tina and I don't script any of this.
It sounds like we do.
But we don't. That God scripts it.
Yes, God scripts it. And that, like, that's exactly case in point. Like, let God take over. And we pray before every single episode. Like, God is in control. And when it's his plan and it's his way, it just flows so much better. This isn't to say we're not going to have challenges, because we have challenges all the time. But knowing that this is in accordance with what God wants is so much better.
Yes. And thank you, God, for setting us up for your next fruit is faithfulness. Prayer is faith. Talking to God about something that you are believing for and having the faith that it is already finished, that it is already done. And if it's not of God's will, Tina and I pray that, you know, if they are green lights in the Lord, keep them opening, keep them going. If it's his will, give us confirmation that we are walking the right way. And if it is not, Lord, give us the red flag, give us the red light and shut that door, slam it shut, and let us not walk any further, because we've talked about this before. Putting our hand on the hot stove and letting it burn hurts. It hurts physically, it hurts emotionally, it hurts mentally, spiritually, all of those things. And this podcast is created so we hope to God that if we can get you to not put your hand on that hot stove and get all of those burn marks in every form and fashion I just mentioned, he goes after the one. So it's not about likes. It's not about subscribers. It's not about how fast this can grow. This is about reaching the person that is so far gone that they don't think that God loves them and that there's no purpose for him. This is for you. You are called for such a time as this. You wear the crown of God if you are a daughter or a son of the Most High God, and He loves you, and he wants to have a relationship with you, and you are beautifully and wonderfully made. And we cannot say that enough in the physical, in this natural realm, because let God speak it to you personally.
Yep. And you know, as you were talking, I just thought to myself, when we talk to ourselves, because we have read the word so much, when we talk to one another, I mean, we literally talk in scripture a lot of the time, because I would rather have those words going into my ears than some of the other things that kind of come in.
Right.
But like, and
the world by default.
Right. Exactly. And you know, going back to kindness, because I think that so often we're like, well, everyone knows how to be kind, like be kind, choose kindness. Everyone wears the clothes, everyone, you know, posts it on their Facebook or whatever. But like, given the opportunity, do you really choose kindness? And if you are someone who's maybe a newer believer and wanting to chase Jesus, and you see somebody with a kindness shirt or a Jesus shirt or whatever it is, maybe have the courage to go up to them and ask them, I really like your shirt. Where did you get that? Or I really like your shirt. Can you tell me, like, I don't know what you like about it or why you're wearing it? Like, learning about, like, are they just wearing the shirt to wear it, or are they filled with the Holy Spirit?
Right. I heard this over the weekend, and it is so, so powerful, because people would rather see a sermon than hear one any day. So you might know Tina and I personally, or you might have run into us, or somebody that you look up to, and I'm not saying that you do that to us, but we've talked so much on this podcast about all of the things about Jesus, but if we aren't walking it,
yes,
then our words mean nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Yep.
It's a second by second choice every single day, day in and day out, to live this way. And it is not easy. This is not easy by any form or fashion. But the way of the world is, it may look easy, but it leads to death. Yeah. It is so unfulfilling. It makes you feel less than and unworthy, and it puts people down along the way. And that is not who either one of us want to be. And we want to live. If everybody would eat this kind of fruit, can you imagine what this world would look like?
Yes, I can, actually, and it would be beautiful. You know, it's funny that you say that, because a couple people were like, oh yeah, I listened to your podcast. And I was like, what? Like, I was like, what do you mean? They're like, yeah, I listened to some episodes. I'm like, and they're like, why? I'm like, because you know so much more about me than I know about you. And that's kind of crazy. But then I'm like, okay. So now I am like, I'm held to a different standard because I'm doing this. And I think there's something in the scripture there too.
It is.
And then we have to decide, like, are we going to cut that person off? Because now people know my car and they know my license plate or they know that I have a podcast or whatever it is. Like, and not that we're doing it for other people.
No.
But I think so often people don't realize that they're being watched.
We are.
We are all being watched. Even when no one is looking and you're acting a certain way, God is always watching you.
He is. It's about what you're doing behind the scenes. It's about what you're doing when nobody's around. And that goes into goodness. You know, the fruit of the spirit of goodness is, are you choosing to be good and treat people with all of these fruits when nobody is looking or when you think nobody's watching you? Because God does call us to a higher standard. These ways of walking, this identity in Him is beautiful and amazing, but it's not easy. And that is not what we're saying whatsoever, but it's so unbelievably worth it.
Even, and I think from a worldly perspective, it will seem harder.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
But then when you're blessed with so much, like a love I could have never experienced, the love of Jesus, like joy that like just overabundance of floating joy and peace that I never had before Jesus, like even in patience, I'm like, okay, like God's in control of this. The more anxious I am, the more I give away my control.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Okay, and we're wrapping it up with the last one because I love to think of the fruits of the Spirit. Like we start with, I think peace. Peace, patience, joy, love, all the things, right? But the last one, it's such self-control. And that is one that's like, whoa, woof. It is not what you just said, you know, what did you just say? It's like,
when we give away control because of our
whatever.
Rewind 30 seconds or yes, a minute.
But self-control, it is, we can only control ourselves, right? So learning to respond to others instead of reacting to whatever is going on. And that is letting God have the front steering wheel of our life and us taking the back seat, because all we know as human beings is truly nothing. We make plans and God laughs because His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. And the Bible says that His word is a lamp to our feet. It's not like a red carpet full of lights that leads you all the way to the end. No, it's a little bit at a time. Yep. And if you are trusted with little, you will be trusted with more. Yep. So having the self-control and the rest of the fruits of the Spirit that we talked about and knowing your identity in Christ, He is able to trust you with more along the way with your self-control, with giving everything that you have back to God, because we own nothing. We are loaners of everything because God created everything and He is just trusting us to be good stewards of it all.
And self-control is a learned behavior. It doesn't just happen. Like we're teaching our children right now self-control from cell phones.
Right.
It is up to us as parents to teach. But what are we doing as parents with our time, right? Like we also have to teach them self-control with eating. Like their kids, they're busy, they're hungry, they stuff their face with food. And it's like, whoa, 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 slow down. Let it digest. Like are we being an example of self-control?
Yeah. And because it starts with us. Every time we're pointing a finger back, three are pointing back at us. We are called to a higher standard to be examples for the world. Because the more people that choose to eat these fruits of the Spirit that we've just went over, people will look at us or see us different. And us being you, me, Tina, whoever is listening to this, your friends, people will start to wonder, there is something different about you. What is that? And then you can say, well, let me tell you about my Jesus, because He makes a way when there ain't no way. He saves that one.
Rises up from an empty grave.
Yeah. Ain't no sinner than He can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
It's a song.
It is. I speak in lyrics. That's a gift from God.
Yes, it is.
So this was a, you know, we always say hot and heavy topic, but I hope that you learned something from this. This has been probably one of the longest episodes we've ever done. And that is why we are doing a collection.
Because this could go on and on and on. And this, we want to give you the meat and potatoes of how to live a life.
Right. No milk and sugar. We want your teeth to last for the rest of your life here on Earth. So,
wrapping up.
We're wrapping it up.
Thank you so much for listening today, you guys. And if you got anything from this, please, please, please go and take the 30 seconds to hit the like button, to hit the subscribe. And if you're feeling spicy, review us. 5-star, hopefully. Because the more you share this with people, the more it goes out into the world and the more people feel the love of Jesus from us.
Right. I want to leave you with this. But you are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you. God loves you. His identity is everything for you. And thank you so much for your support. XOXO from the Fearless Queens, the gospel girls.
Bye.